Beautiful. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn. After Jesus was born in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not by any means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them at the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go too and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh, and had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen. There was a preacher who was also a songwriter. And he was inspired to write a song from Psalm 98. You don't need to turn to that, but just to give you a little background. This passage says some things like, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. The Lord has made known his righteousness, his salvation, his righteousness revealed in the sight of the nations. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises." Now, it's interesting, the song that that man wrote, it was "Joy to the World. The Lord has come." It really wasn't written as a Christmas song, per se, but a song more about the second coming of Christ. But it carries such joyful meaning for us. But if you listen to the whole story as it goes, it's so much more than him coming into this world as the babe at a manger. It was written by Isaac Watts, 1719. And the music was written by Handel. And so anyhow, some interesting things about this hymn. It tells the story all the way through. Now, what I find disturbing is verses that are left out. Now, it's just kind of a pet peeve. Sometimes I think hymns tell a story all the way through, you know. And there may be times, okay, "Just As I Am" has five verses. Sometimes you might need to shorten it. But, you know, it tells a story, and so does "Joy to the World." And here's a verse that's often left out. Matter of fact, sometimes the song is left out of some hymn books because of this verse. And this verse shouldn't be left out. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. The curse of sin. The curse of death. He comes to make his blessings known. And for some reason, people look at that and say, oh, as far as the curse is found, let's not include that in there. That's part of the story. Why did Jesus come into this world? Good tidings. A Savior is born. See, we can't really know the blessing of salvation if we don't have the backdrop of the fact that we are sinners who need a Savior. It's like I told y'all 2 or 3 months ago when I was working as a hospice chaplain and going to a convent to visit one of my patients who was a nun. And I'd take my guitar and we'd be playing songs, and they liked the goofy songs like Eating Goober Peas and stuff like that that nobody likes. But anyhow, you know, then I'd play some hymns like Amazing Grace. And this 80-something-year-old nun said, Dennis, I don't like that verse about wretch. I'm not a wretch. I like us to sing it, saved a one as me. So now I would have thought that nuns would have known this. So I said, well, sister, I said, the Apostle Paul said, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And the writer of the hymn was talking about how he needed a Savior. And I said, we don't use the word wretch, but it still carries the same meaning. We are sinners needing a Savior. And that is true. There is this backdrop of sin in our background. And the fact that Jesus came, it does bring joy. Now, I think joy to the world is great for a Christmas song. But it's also great for any other time we want to sing it, because it tells the whole story. Now, when we think about joy, there's a lot of ways that we think about joy. We think of some that are fake joy. Like, for example, material joy. Oh, you know, we get caught up in that in this time of the year, don't we? Material joy. Did you know that this year, Americans will spend $465 billion. I don't know how they got it to 65, but, you know, $465 billion. $465 billion on material joy. And, you know, we just get caught up on the stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with having the stuff. But if we're basing our joy on the stuff, we're going to come to a place where we realize we just got to have more stuff to have joy. You know, our stuff isn't going to give us the greatest joy. Now, the reality is, you can have fun with a lot of the stuff, but when you're hit with something hard in your family, then you realize the stuff doesn't matter. Everything kind of comes into perspective. So, material joy. But you know, around the holidays, I think there will be manufactured joy. And that's not a manufactured product, But it's kind of the fake it until you make it kind of thing, you know. You know, you got a crazy relative, and, you know, you just know that something could just go wrong. And so you're just going to smile, and you're going to just try to endure it. Maybe that's not your story. Or maybe you're the crazy relative, you know, that everybody else is trying to, you know. So you have this manufactured joy. But then there's a momentary joy. Now, momentary joy, it's not the same as the material joy. This could be just what you do in the moment for joy. And unfortunately, there can be consequences to what we would do for joy in the moment. Then, the one I really want to think about, though, is not the material joy, not the manufactured joy, not the momentary joy, but the miraculous joy. The miraculous joy of when God sent His Son into this world. Now, the passage that we looked at in the call to worship was the passage that we looked at last week about the shepherds and how the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "I bring good news of great joy to all people, for today in the city of David a Savior is born, and that is Christ the Lord." Now that is miraculous joy. But then we find miraculous joy is seen also in Matthew chapter 2 in this passage where we read about the Magi. Now, the Magi, they've also been called wise men. You know, I heard it said, I mean, people used to joke. I know Danny's from Kentucky and I'm from Kentucky. And when I first moved here, people said to me, "Well, you know, they couldn't do any Christmas productions in Kentucky." I said, "How come?" They said, "Well, they couldn't find three wise men." Well, I beg to differ on that, but the reality is, who says it was three anyway? We base the number three on gifts. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we think, okay, well, there were three people. There were three of the Magi. He could have actually been 12 that often traveled in a party of a group of Magi. Magi, they would travel, I read, up to 1,000 miles. Now, I cannot imagine when you would travel without the convenience. I mean, we won't drive 1,000 miles, right? You know, we want to fly if we're going 1,000 miles. You know, but they would travel far. And the Magi, they were very much into following the stars. And so we get this where there was this star that guided them. So they go to Jerusalem, and they're asking, where is the Savior who is to be born the King of the Jews? Well, that was troubling some people. And the scripture here says it was troubling Herod. What? Somebody to be born King of the Jews. And so he spoke to the Magi. He said, "Well, when you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him." He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. And so the Magi, they set out, and they are guided to the place where Jesus was. And it says that they were filled with joy. Miraculous joy. Now, when I think about the Magi, there's one other thing that's a very important point in our nativity scenes. You know, we'll have the shepherds dressed up in the nicest finery, won't we? You know, they will be wearing nice robes. That's not the way it was. They were probably in tattered garments and dirty garments. And it's not like they had the conveniences that we have today. And they were around stinky, smelly sheep. So, sorry to burst your bubble, they weren't wearing these nice robes. And we get the nativity scene that will show that the Magi are there at the birth of Christ. Well, I know I'm really treading on sacred ground here, but it is not likely that they were there then. It was after he was born. It doesn't say when after he was born, but commentators believed it could have been up to 2 winters later. And so, doesn't really matter. The fact is, the Magi went there and found him. They were filled with joy. Now, when I look at this story, there are 3 things I want us to have as takeaways this morning. First of all, verse 8. There is joy in the midst of darkness. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. When you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." See, the Magi, they were filled with joy going to find him. But there was darkness that was in the world. When Jesus was born, there was reason to give glory and praise. But there was a backdrop of darkness. Now, what I think is important with this, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is dark in our lives, no matter what burden, no matter our circumstance, Jesus is Lord, and God is good, and we can trust in Him. We look around our world and we see a lot of crazy stuff in our world. Turn on the news, you see a lot of crazy stuff. But the crazy stuff doesn't change the fact that Jesus is Lord, our Savior. So, even in the midst of darkness, Christ is Lord. But we see also a joy that led to worship. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Their joy led to worship. But I want you to think of one other thing. Did you know your worship can lead to joy? That's a very important thing because sometimes we just may not feel like it. So you may just be burdened. And maybe you say, "Well, I don't even feel like going to church." But you come. Have any of you felt that way? I mean, I have, but then I remember I'm the preacher. I gotta go, you know. That's a little joke. Thanks for laughing. But sometimes we don't feel like doing something, and we just do that, worship the Lord, And it's amazing how it will change how we feel. Their joy led to worship. They bowed down before him. And they had joy in the Lord's direction. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Well, they didn't do what Herod said, but they followed God's leading. They didn't go the way they thought they were going to go, but they listened to the Lord's direction. Have you ever had a time where you just had to change directions, where you had to do something differently than you thought you were, but God was leading? There's joy in following the Lord's direction. Joy to the world. The Lord has come to the world. Joy to the world when Jesus comes back to redeem us, to take us to heaven. This morning, I want you to know that joy is not tied to your circumstances. I mean, happiness sometimes we tie to it. I'll be happy if I get this, if I do this. Joy is much deeper. Joy is what we have regardless of the circumstances. And this morning, I hope you have that joy. And we're going to turn to our hymn of invitation at this time. Would you all stand and sing as we sing "How Great Our Joy," number 170. And we will continue our joy, because one of the things that we do also find joy in is eating. So we want you all to share in the joy as we gather here in just a few moments for that. Thanks for coming today. We welcome our guests. And let's dismiss with prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you brought joy to this world, that you came to be the Savior in the backdrop of darkness, that you came to be the light. Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, that we can be an extension of your light, that we can share with others, that we can spread the joy throughout this world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.